Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 30-14 to the Green Bay Packers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. How are you guys today?
Doing very well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Corey, how stunned were you to see Malik Willis come in and do to the Titans what he did yesterday?
Well, I mean, look, you couldn't watch him play and not be surprised, but let's not pretend that he wasn't much improved during the preseason. You know, people talk about, you know, coaching being the difference. I think this coaching staff helped improve him a lot. And, you know, obviously Matt LaFleur can coach as well. You know, to see him play pretty much mistake-free, you know, it helps to have blocking. But he made plays with his feet, made plays with his arm. You know, he made accurate throws. The throw over McCreary was excellent. And I will say this, I don't know if I ever thought I would see Malik play at that high of a level in this league. And so, yeah, it was surprising. It was happy for him. Great to see him play well.
So does that say anything more to you, Corey, about the state of affairs here? Obviously, Matt LaFleur gets credit. Malik gets credit. But mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I hear from fans, right? It's like how, and I know Kaharski asked a question of this effect, like how as a guy who was one thing here, but he thought it was one thing here, goes somewhere, and in a few weeks, all of a sudden, he looks like something else.
Well, I think surrounding cast is important. I think, you know, solid offensive line play is very, very important. And, you know, Matt LaFleur is a pretty good coach, you know, and has an established, you know, system there. And so it's been good for them. And it's been good for Malik too. And you know, the Titans have holes. The Titans have to get fixed. I mean, Levis went down 8 times yesterday. How do you think Malik would have looked behind that?
Not good.
I mean, it's been a problem here. It's, you know, was in steady decline. And I mean, think about what they've invested in that offensive line. You've got 2 top 11 picks on the left side, a high-priced free agent in the middle, a second-round pick at right guard, and a high third-round pick at right tackle. And they were a sieve. And they know that. They're disgusted with it. So I'm not saying anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. They know it's not good enough. And, you know, and you've got what you view as one of the best offensive line coaches in the game. And that's where you're at. And I think that's what's most discouraging is you've got all that in place and you still have, it looks like somebody nuked the Hoover Dam.
Well, I mean, how fixable is it? Because, you know, Petit Frere looks awful at right tackle right now. Quite frankly, Skoronski looks awful at left guard. And I know they've got Bill Callahan, but Bill Callahan's not Yoda. He can't come in here and make bad players good. So I wonder how fixable this is moving forward.
That's what's most discouraging. I said, because that's what you've got in place. And I got news for you. The guys behind him aren't better. Because everybody always wants to bench. I mean, when Jalen Duncan got in the game, it wasn't better.
No.
I mean, he was a turnstile. The guy went right around him every time. And, you know, Will was 26-34, and can he be a better player? Absolutely. But I said good for him that he was able to complete 26 passes that way. And you know, people wanted to take shots downfield. I'm like, how's he going to set up long enough to throw downfield? I mean, they rushed for 33 yards yesterday, guys.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it felt like, and I know, you know, they ran the ball 11 times, 33 yards. Not any success to speak of whatsoever running the football.
No.
But it didn't feel like they really stuck with it that long either.
Well, it's because they were behind the sticks. I mean, their success rate on first down was not good running the football. And so they were struggling. There was no consistency, you know, there running the football. So, and then they were behind 27-7 in the second half.
Yep.
So they throw in the football. But you know, they to me, that's the most discouraging part of this game. And I said it on last night's show, is they got beat on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They gave up 188 yards rushing, 188. A week after, you know, proclaiming that nobody runs on the Titans. Well, I mean, they got run up and down the field. You know, Brian Callahan talked early in the week last week about how discipline was the number one key, and their discipline in containing Malik Willis was not good enough. Arden Key blew right past him, right out of the gate. And there he went, down the left sideline. And, you know, they tackled poorly. You know, and the defense had been so good, and I still think the defense can be good, but they did not have a good day yesterday. And again, when you lose at the line of scrimmage, you don't win many football games. And yesterday, as a team, the Titans lost at the line of scrimmage. They got beat up.
Yeah, and that was my next question, was on the defense, Corey. I think we can all agree, you know, well, we can agree that Will Levis, you know, is going to be the quarterback and should continue to be the quarterback. The offensive line is going to struggle. There's no magical answer. They're going to,
yeah.
They're going to, if they hit 20, great job. Still waiting for that to happen this year. So we can all agree that if there's going to be any success, it's going to have to be with that defense and with, you know, with low scoring games. Do you feel like it was a lot of fool's gold in the first 2 weeks? How concerning is no turnovers for us, and how effective do you think this group can be moving forward to keep them in games and give them a chance?
Well, I think zero turnovers is really concerning. I mean, you're on pace for zero turnovers for the season, which I'm pretty sure would be an NFL record.
I believe you're correct.
And again, I talked about what they invested on the offensive line. Let's talk about what they invested on the defense. I mean, how much are they paying Snead, Nwuzie, and Hooker? How much are they paying Landry and Simmons? And then, you know, Tavondre is a second-round pick and the Outland Trophy winner. And, you know, you've got two middle linebackers that you like a lot, you know, paid for one of them, traded for the other. You know, they're invested on all those guys. And, you know, we consider a lot of them to be dogs. Well, they're not taking the football away. And that's, you know, we're not looking for excuses for the offense. But, you know, how did the Packers really change that game yesterday with a turnover?
Yeah.
How did the Bears change the game in week one with a turnover, several turnovers? And, you know, it's okay for the Titans to change the game with a turnover on defense. It's okay. It's allowed. And as I recall, it's what they talked about the entire offseason, was coming up with turnovers, making plays. I mean, that's the whole thing about blitzing, putting pressure on the quarterback, making him make uncomfortable decisions very quickly. And they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're not coming. You know, they're not even missing out on opportunities. I mean, the ball's just not coming out at all. The only one that came out was a gift. Guy couldn't catch a kick.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Corey, you've been around this team for a long time. They've now lost 21 of 27 games. You lost to a guy that you just discarded 3 weeks ago in Malik Willis the other day. You're 0-3 to begin the season. You know, a lot of fans have been throwing out this is rock bottom all day long on our show.
What do you make of the
scope of all of this and what this all means by the state of the franchise?
Well, it's disappointing because you thought the team was better than this. So yes, that's disappointing. Because, you know, look, I didn't think it was necessarily a playoff team, but I thought they would win some games. And yesterday, you know, yesterday was competitive, but like I said, they got beat at the line of scrimmage, and that's glaring when you see that. And like you said, they can't score 20 points, and you know that's concerning as well. But look, I was here for the Whizzing Hunt era. Those teams were not competitive. They were awful. And you knew going out each week they were awful. So that is the two are not comparable to me at this point. You know, we'll see as the season goes on, but I don't see those teams being relatable at all. And I continue to say I was at the 59-0 game. That's the least competitive football game I have seen on just about any level, especially a professional level. And if you're going to top that one for me, you better have something special.
See, it's interesting. I hear you on the Wisenhunt era, but the second year of that, which, of course, he didn't get through, they at least had drafted Mariota number two, so there was hope, right? I mean, like, hope in Mariota was far from lost after that year. And then, of course, the next year, he actually took a really nice step with Malarkey. But I guess that's where I would say, like, there at least there was a light at the end of the tunnel there. And I feel like right now, not that Levis tops the list of issues yesterday, but you know, three games in, certainly the hope in him has diminished a decent amount. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but that's largely based on three turnovers. Correct?
Sure. I mean, three pretty egregious turnovers.
Those are a big part of it. Those are a big part of it.
Yeah. No, look, they're bad, and you can't excuse them. I mean, I'm not saying that. But, you know, you look at the numbers yesterday, and they're not horrible. They're not horrible. I mean, he needs to play better. I'm not saying like Will Levis was great yesterday. I mean, you see the gambit on X, you know. It's not Will's fault at all. Look, the entire team was not good enough yesterday. And I think Callahan is right. They need to play better around him, you know. But a quarterback, I mean, this is what I always said about Tannehill as well. It's okay for you to elevate your guys.
Yeah.
The really good ones do elevate their guys. And, you know, and I think, you know, Will wants to do some of that. And I think that sometimes can be part of the overly, you know, competitiveness of the situation. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I just think when he has time in the pocket, generally good things happen. I mean, the interception, the pick six was not a forced throw. It was not a bad decision from a, you know, freaking out in a competitive moment. It was just telegraphed. I saw that same interception when Seattle was here in town during joint practices. You guys remember that one?
Yep.
I mean, it looked exactly the same. They were just sitting on it. They'd been through two series, and they hadn't thrown hop the ball. And I'm like, they're going to throw hop the ball. And you know what Jair Alexander said? They're going to throw hop the ball. And he just sat on it and knew it was coming. And, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, you talk about looking guys off with your eyes and everything. It was pretty much telegraphed. He's got to be better, but everything's got to be better. I mean, after that one. I mean, they didn't get a punt blocked. That's the best thing I can say about yesterday.
All right.
That's the best thing that I can say about yesterday. And you know what? Jaquan Jackson did have some return yards yesterday.
He did.
When they actually did force a punt.
They did. They did those things. You're correct. Corey, thanks as always for being with us. We'll continue to unpack the misery of yesterday's game, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Did you guys ever think you would see Malik play that well?
No, absolutely not. I'm still pretty stunned by it.
He was tremendous. He was composed. You know what was my favorite play of yesterday? My dreadful Bears losing to the Colts. But that pick that Anthony Richardson threw into the end zone,
it
was fantastic.
It was special.
Three guys could have picked it.
Right at three guys. And threw it so softly, he practically walked up and handed it to them.
Here you go. Here's the football.
Yeah.
Oh, and they won the game.
I guess, yeah, we're seeing a lot of young quarterbacks make a lot of mistakes.
Yep, no doubt about that. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you. And we got the red rifle back. So
thank God.
The NFL is saved.
Thank God. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take more of your thoughts on Malik Willis and the Packers taking down the Titans yesterday. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Malik Willis and the Green Bay Packers take down the Titans 30-14. Titans fall to 0-3. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines all show long. Lots of participation today, as I expected there would be on our phone and text lines.
I mean, I got to be in here defending you against Jim, who somehow thinks that you're like a vol Twitter, you know, most wanted. Like, he's gonna scratch. Yeah, and it's like, I mean, God, if anything, I think you're probably harder on vol Twitter for that garbage than I am.
Yes,
you're just pointing out that it's hilarious that like a game could be so dominant. You take away the uniforms, that one team could dominate a team so thoroughly and not get a holding call. I mean, that's it.
Stop that's all it, it is. It's really
I get that you hate the Vols, and that's fine. And you hate Vols fans, and that's fine, too. I'm telling you that Robbie, I mean, which should be clear after years of doing this show, is the anti-Vol Twitter approach to the Vols.
Although I do
so
love
I'm
Vol
just
Twitter.
Defending you all day here, Robbie, in the text line.
I do love Vol Twitter.
Well, sure, of course. We love our Big Orange Mac and his very questionable and risque posts.
We do. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, good morning, I guess. Sorry if I sound a little lethargic. I'm a little hungover after watching that stupid game yesterday. But, is it just me? On some of those sacks, the walls were caving in on one side. Will could have slid to the other side and got away. There was some, of course, that he had no shot at. But there's just some that he had a clear lane to step away from, but they were just coming from the backside or the front side. He just didn't slide away from it. His pocket presence was lacking yesterday. And I just wanted to say if y'all saw what I saw.
Yep, thanks for the call, Kyle. I do think, Joe, there were probably two of those that I felt like he could have gotten the ball out a little bit quicker or moved around and gotten rid of the football at least. But I would say most of them, six of the eight sacks, there was just no chance whatsoever from Levis. But I do think there were probably one or two he could have gotten rid of the ball.
Yeah, there was one. I think he ran himself into the sack for sure. And, yeah, there could be some better pocket presence for sure. You know, it's not all on the offensive line, but I do think that you absolutely have to start with the offensive line. And on, like, again, there was one play where it was just both tackles and it was just a jailbreak. And of course we know the Nicholas Petit-Frere play with the fumble was, I mean, I guess you could say Levis that at least that's right in front of you. So just chuck it out of bounds, take a ground, you know, whatever you could say that. Because he at least had vision on it. But my gosh, when you get beat that badly to the point where you fall down and the guy is just in your quarterback's grill immediately. And, you know, to Daryl Johnson's point there on the broadcast too, it's like, meanwhile, hey, Nicholas Petit-Frere, get up and go try to help. Get up off your butt and go try to recover the fumble or do something. You're just kind of lying there watching it. And of course he didn't play again. I still, Robbie, I still can't believe that Jalen Duncan is going to be the starter at right tackle, but we'll see. I mean, Paul is right that was sort of the indication after the game, but I'm sure Brian Callahan will clarify today. I as bad as Nicholas Petit-Frere is, I believe it will be worse if it's Jalen Duncan.
I believe it probably will be too, but it can't be that much worse. Now, I agree. Look, the bottom line is they're in a terrible situation at right tackle right now. Any way you want to slice it, whether it's Petit-Frere, whether it's Jalen Duncan, whether they go with your idea, which I don't think is a bad one, of moving Radins over to the right tackle and moving Brunskill maybe back inside to guard. Bottom line is they are up the creek right now at right tackle. And it has been so bad from Petit-Frere the last two games where I don't know how much better. Like we were talking about this with Corey. Where's the fix? I don't know that the fix is there right now. And I understand they got Bill Callahan and – you know, Bill Callahan, unquestionably one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time, but I just don't know. I don't know where the fix is with this group right now.
There's very little this year. I mean, it's now what you hope the fix is that look, Bill Callahan has last year in Cleveland. You know, with third stringers, you know, he cobbled together a good enough line to keep Flacco clean enough for them to make the playoffs with a great defense and all that. And Yeah, the fix needs to be that, like, we need to see more Bill Callahan effect as things move forward. Like it can't be this bad. There's not going to be a fix to the point where they're a good offensive line. I mean, they don't have the players to be a good offensive line, but they need to. They should be able to improve from embarrassing to some level of adequate. I think that's what you hope with Bill Callahan, that he figures that out. I found Stillman's. I found his burner, by the way.
Did you?
I found Stilly's burner. Oh, I was just on it. Now I've lost it. Well, anyway, he said that Jared has been right about everything, but also, so I have the number. I know the burner number, but also making the point that it's all excuses and Levis needs to be benched again. Like, if you're saying the offensive line stinks, which, come on, anybody watching that game can see that. If you take that as making excuses for Will Levis, then it's just, I'm sorry. Like, so then that you are so focused on him being the answer for everything, I guess maybe good and bad, or just maybe bad, that you're not just looking at what's in front of you. The offensive line is a disaster. I would not bench Will Levis. I would not think about doing it anytime soon, because again, that's what this season's supposed to be. And you can have your mind made up that he's not good, but if you put Mason Rudolph in, you're just going to have a better game manager and still not win and still not make the playoffs. What does that do for you?
Right. I mean, I am not anywhere near they need to bench Will Levis. Now, I will say I'm getting closer and closer by the day to, all right, I'm just not sure that he's very good. I mean, I think we're getting, to me, and maybe you're different, I don't know, but we're getting pretty close to that point with me, and I know that the situation in front of him right now is not good, but, I mean, there's just catastrophic plays in every game right now that are really difficult to ignore. But no question about it, like, if you walk away from yesterday's game and you say, that darn Will Levis, I know he got sacked 8 times, but if he could just get rid of the ball quicker, or if he was just more accurate with the football while there's 5 Packers in his face, I don't know what you're really looking at yesterday.
Right. Now, I got another text I do want to get to, because I think it's a fair question. It's a hard question. It's something Titans fans don't want to believe, but I think it's fair right now.
We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, you had a thought on the text line that you wanted to get through. Or maybe I'm just making it up that it was on the text line.
No, it was on the text line. And thanks for all the participation today. Not surprised. Apologies. We usually stay on top of it pretty well. They're flying in fast and furious, so
yes, they
we're
are.
Doing the best we can. But I thought there's a good and a bad, and a point I think is fair, and a point I would say probably is a little unfair. But unnamed texter says, when is Brian Callahan going to start getting the blame he deserves? LaFleur has Willis looking like Steve Young in a couple weeks. Callahan had a whole offseason and now 3 weeks with Levis. He looks worse than ever. Add in special teams mistakes. You have a grossly incompetent team. It's pathetic. Levis stinks, but he's getting scapegoated to some extent. Callahan is in over his head. Then the next text is, and I'm sick and tired of how good of an O-line coach Bill Callahan is. Quote, one of the best O-line coaches in NFL history wouldn't have an O-line looking this bad, end quote. So I'm going to disagree with your second point. Look, it's bad right now. So, I mean, no one should be, like, having a parade for Bill Callahan. I'd say that decades of evidence would tell us, and, like, just last year, what he did with the Browns was pretty remarkable. They desperately didn't want to lose him.
He's the least of my concerns.
Yeah, I understand, because it was the big deal when he came in, and so it's like, oh, well, where is it? It's bad right now. I get it. He has to do better, and he's got to figure something out, and it may require a significant shuffling of the chairs on the deck of the Titanic here to figure something out, but that's not a concern. Look, I think it's fair to look at what LaFleur did quickly, what hasn't happened with Levis, and say, what's going on with Brian Callahan? Like, where is he? I mean, you can see his frustration, as you would expect, as an 0-3 football coach. He's upset with the overall situation, and it is. It's a first-time head coach with a first-time OC and a first-time DC, and sometimes it doesn't work, you know? So I think that's totally fair to bring up. The problem with the whole Levis issue is this: it just gets so muddied by the offensive line, right? And again, I'm not saying Levis has been good. I'm with you, Robbie. Like, it's been discouraging overall right now. The indications, the trend is downward, and headed toward it. He just doesn't have it. But I'm not ready to go all the way there yet when you are in such duress. You know, I watched the Detroit Lions again yesterday for a little bit because, you know, of course I have to. The TV in my home is going to be on the Lions. And Jared Goff had a couple sacks where I'm like, if that dude played for the Tennessee Titans, people would think he was the worst quarterback in the league because he can't move at all. He is a sickly goat who has the best offensive line in the league. And when he gets some kind of pressure, it's like, and he just crumbles. I'm like, if that dude played here, he would be the worst QB in the league. So I'm just saying, like, it is a complete picture. We all focus on one person. It's not good, but there's so much that's bad right now. I do absolutely agree that it's fair that right now Brian Callahan not off to a good start as an NFL head coach.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And look, they got they got their hats handed to them yesterday by LaFleur. I mean, there's no doubt. Denard Wilson, Brian Callahan, they got totally outclassed yesterday. And in some ways it is as simple as, you know, the offensive line for Green Bay held up, obviously moved the ball really well. They ran for 188 yards. And the defensive front for the Packers totally overwhelmed the offensive line of the Titans. You know, sometimes it's just that simple. But I just thought the game plan LaFleur put together yesterday was outstanding. And they went out there and executed it really well. So, you know, week one, you can chalk it up to Levis, right? Like, that is what it is. Levis lost in the game along with the punt blot. You get another punt block last week, Levis with another bad turnover. Defense can't come up with some big stops in key moments when you needed it against Aaron Rodgers. Yesterday, there was a lot that went into it, but part of the equation yesterday is the Titans got completely and thoroughly outcoached yesterday. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And, so that's got to get better. I mean, they got to figure out an offensive line. I mean, the defense, I think there's a little bit of fool's gold with the first couple weeks, and there's some issues there. I don't understand how the tackling could be as bad as it was yesterday to let Malik Willis do what he did. Credit to him, but also discredit to the Titans. David, so listen, it's a three-hour show. I can't sit here and knock anybody for not listening to every second of it. But he says, the constant variable in the Titans' dysfunction over the years, Amy Adams, Strunk, why didn't anybody talk about ownership? We talked about ownership earlier. Also, it's a constant. A variable is a thing that changes. Constant variable, I believe, is an oxymoron. But we talked about ownership. And look, I think yesterday was a bad enough situation that it's worth saying right now, the Titans, again, and I'll go back to Vrabel being fired. There was a column in The Athletic I wrote that said, the Titans have an ownership problem. It hasn't changed. Amy Adams Strunk.
People got really mad at us about that, by the way, too.
Yeah. Oh, back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it hasn't changed. Like, and this is the issue with owners in sports is, like, they own the team, so there's nothing you can do about it. What you have to hope is that the people she has hired, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker. Rand Carthon, by the way, brought in Chad Brinker. It was his idea to go get him from Green Bay, and then Amy elevates Chad Brinker over Rand Carthon, and we have all this who's in charge crap.
Right.
Because they don't want to be upfront with the public that they're trying to sell PSLs to. So you have that, but you have to hope as a fan that Brinker, Carthon, Callahan, and all the people working for them are going to be good at their jobs and get them out of this mess. Callahan, I mean, he is new here, you know. A lot of this stuff predated him. Right now it's not a good start, but the people who work for Amy Adams Strunk have to do a great job or they're going to be gone. She'll start over again, but she's going to be there.
Well, I said earlier, they're a bad franchise. Like, you can cut it any way you want to cut it. The Tennessee Titans are a bad franchise, and it's up to them to change that. But the bottom line is, I mean, they've lost 21 out of 27 games, and you can blame Robinson, and you can blame Vrabel if you want to. You can blame any combination of the two. You can blame Rand Carthon. It is what it is. They've lost 21 out of their last 27 games, and they're just in a state of dysfunction. And until they prove it otherwise, that's what they are. Right now, they are the worst team in the National Football League. They are. Right now, that's what they are. So until they prove otherwise, the Tennessee Titans are a bad franchise.
Right, and it's very discouraging when you do spend the way the Titans spend. Did they spend poorly? Hey, there are some people talking about Stilly being right. Stilly threw a fit when they didn't spend some of their money on right tackle.
He did.
He still I didn't see a good answer in free agency. Now, you could have done differently with your drafting, too. You could have drafted another tackle. But the bottom line is, I mean, I think pretty early on, they thought, based on Nicholas Petit-Frere's film and probably largely from his rookie year, which wasn't a disaster, that he could be a serviceable right tackle. And that's the way they went. And then they have Jalen Duncan. Right now, those guys look like they don't know how to play offensive line at all. So, I mean, that's – did they spend too much on skill guys when they should have done more? Again, the problem is, what are your options for spending? They went and got Cushenberry. That was a good – that's a good move, right? Yeah. Like, on paper, that's a very good move. But obviously, they did not right now, they have not constructed a good football team, and they spent a heck of a lot of money to not have a good football team, to have the worst, as you said correctly, football team in the National Football
League. Which makes me wonder. Look, I'm with PK. You know, Kuharsky was with us earlier and said, you know, nobody's probably getting fired today. But, I mean, if you're Amy Adams Strunk right now, given what you've seen to this point, you're 0-3, you are the worst team in the league right now, you just lost to Malik Willis. And not only lost to Malik Willis, because, Joe, I agree with you. Like, it's one thing if you'd have told me, like, on Friday that the Titans would have lost this game, but it would have been, you know, some grimy 17-14 final where, you know, the Packers defense gets a scoop and score and that's the game winner. Like, that's one thing. But to have Malik Willis come in, and I've said it a couple times on the show today, and I stand by it, look like Michael Vick out there yesterday is a little bit of a different story. And all I'll say with her is you never know. I've learned that much about her at this point. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so much talk about someone's going to get fired. There probably won't be anybody fired, but there's just way too much rabbit ears and reacting and just not enough good decision-making from the top of this franchise down. By the way, apparently I owe an apology. People are telling me that constant variable is a scientific term. This is why I sucked at science and went into journalism. So, I mean, you know, give me a break.
But so David is smarter?
What's that?
Is David smarter than me and you then?
I'm sure lots of people on here are smarter than me, but constant variable sounds like a dumb term. Am I wrong about that?
I mean, I agree with you, but again,
I know variables and constants. All these people are telling me constant variable is a real term, so I apologize.
I smoke weed constantly.
I mean, part of the reason I ended up in this field is because I looked at college and I said, I don't really want to do math, and I really don't want to do science. Okay, journalism, cool.
Yep, that's pretty much the same thing for me.
Really a lot of thought put into our future. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Your final thoughts on our program, the Titans debacle and their loss to the Packers yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune into the Chase and Big Joe Show from 9 to 11 for your chance to win all-inclusive tickets in the Eurostone Club to WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, October the 4th. Contest presented by Green Trees, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products. Check them out online at greentreescompany.com. Your final thoughts on the Titans debacle yesterday that we saw at Nissan Stadium. One thing that we've not really brought up yet today, Joe, except for with with PK a little bit earlier. The crowd yesterday was pretty unreal, just in terms of the amount of Green Bay fans that were in the building. I don't know what that signals. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, there's always a heavy road contingent in Nissan Stadium. We understand that Nashville is a very popular destination. A lot of people want to come here. A lot of people want to go to a game here. So it's not, like, unique that there was a ton of road fans in the stadium yesterday. I will say, though, that may have been as lopsided as I've seen it. What did you make of the crowd at Nissan Stadium? And is that any sort of commentary on what we're seeing from the Titans right now?
Well, it could be. You know, again, there are people, of course, who live here from all over the place. Certainly plenty of Packers fans who live here. But also, it's a travel destination game. There's no question for opposing fan bases. And I think especially NFC fan bases, because it's every 8 years that they get that chance, right? Like, these Packers fans were pretty prominent 8 years ago when they screamed at my kid for wearing a Lions jersey with very bad words. But I think that also there's probably some indication of apathy, and I think that's where we're headed, which is the worst thing for a franchise, especially a franchise trying to sell expensive PSLs to a new stadium it's building. This is not good timing to be trash. And again, it's three games. And the Titans might beat Skylar Thompson and then get some nice Anthony Richardson picks, and who knows? Things could be different quickly. It's the NFL. But right now, it's trending toward this is the team, this is the worst team in the NFL, and this is not the year to do that, which kind of explains why they spent some money too, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Adam Strunk was not, did not go into last offseason saying, yeah, you know, we'll have a few years and then it'll finally rise up for that new stadium. No. We got the exciting quarterback. We got cap space. Remember her interview with Mike Keith. We got this. It's an exciting time. I am not going to settle. That we're going to better places. And then right now it looks very bad. So I think there's apathy. I think there will be increasing apathy if this team doesn't figure it out and turn it around. It's just, it's a bad situation. There's a lot of negativity. I do want one question I want to throw quickly that Dennis asked, which I think is a good one. He said, if you flip-flop the quarterbacks yesterday, just everything else the same, flip-flop the quarterbacks, what's the result?
I mean, it's hard for me to think it goes much differently. I mean, the offensive line for the Titans was just that bad. Now, look, I have serious questions about Levis's like ability to read a defense based on what I've seen from him to this point. So I don't know. Like, does he throw just a ridiculous interception the other way that Malik Willis didn't throw yesterday? I have no idea. Like, I'm starting to wonder what that looks like. But no, like on the surface, it would be difficult for me to say that it would be dramatically different if you switch the quarterback.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers. Yeah, I'll take the Packers in both situations. But it's a good question. And no, I mean, there's fair questions and criticisms of Levis. Matthew Nashville wonders if, even with his comments yesterday, they're going to pull up Panthers and end up benching him for Mason Rudolph. I think at some point that's possible. I don't think we're close to that right now. I do not think so. Now, at some point, if he has another crushing turnover and it's just terrible all the way around, well, then maybe you do. And it may be a one-game bench or whatever. But again, this season, even though they spent all that money, they wanted to be a playoff team. They in the NFL, most teams should aspire to that. Almost all teams should aspire to that. That's how the league is designed,
yeah,
for everybody to be in the playoff race in December. But no one thought this team was going to the Super Bowl. What this team has always been about finding out about Will Levis. And I do hope that Malik Willis is one of many examples. Jordan Love, there's another one, that would tell us that, you know, sometimes the early returns on quarterbacks are inaccurate.
So, look, everybody knows I'm with you. Nobody expected the Titans to go to the Super Bowl this year. There was a thought that maybe they could compete for a playoff spot. Are you willing to say at this point, even though it's only three games in and there's all these stats about 0-3 teams not making the playoffs, even though most of these stats go back like 40 years, which is a pet peeve to me because really the only relevant stats are since they've added a 17th game and since you've added an extra playoff spot at 7, everything else is really meaningless at that point when it goes back that far. I am willing to say yes, they are done. They're not sniffing the playoffs this year. I'm willing to eat those words at some point, but they're done.
No, they're done. They're not going to make the playoffs. Now, can they get to themselves to the point of like being on the outer fringes of the race, you know, where it's like you get into December and it's like, well, if this happened, maybe. Can they win a few games? Sure. I think they'll win some games this year, but I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, and then after what they've done so far, it's hard to imagine. I can't imagine.
Well, I had them at 7 wins, and I'm feeling bad about that right now. Like, I'm wondering.
Well, I had 8, so
you're going to get
worse.
To 4? You're going to get to 1? Like, what's the number going to be at the end of the year? The Carolina Panthers won yesterday, and you did
they
not.
They did. Yeah, hey, I mean, look, number one pick is in the discussion. Number one pick is more likely for the Tennessee Titans than a playoff spot. And we are saying that after 3 weeks, and I feel pretty good about saying it.
We've had,
which is pretty sad,
great participation today. Number one, thank you to our listeners. The YouTube chat's been flowing.
Yep.
Text line's been flowing all day. I do ask one favor of all of you as we move forward in the next few weeks. Can we please, just for the time being, hold off on which quarterback the Titans are drafting next year? I can't mentally bring myself there yet. So can we hold off for a few more weeks? That's all I'm asking.
Stink for Shador.
It was quite the end of that game the other night. Quite the end of that game.
That's one of the best passes I've ever seen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe up next. You've been listening to Robbie and Rexrode.